If you'd like to look with us, we're in the fourth chapter of Proverbs. Got down through about verse 23 last time. So maybe we'll pick up there and go onward. But he says in verse 23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." So out of the heart are the issues. That's the exit, the boundary, the deliverance. And you know, whether naturally speaking or spiritually, the heart is the most important. Spiritually speaking, whatever rules and reigns over the heart of man, the rest of man is going to follow that way. Whatever the man loves the most, whatever holds the greatest importance in his heart, his flesh is going to follow that direction. So especially for the church, for those that are saved, the Lord's desire is for us to keep our heart, to watch, to guard. You know, we said with all diligence, that means as a guard at a prison, keeping those criminals, those that are dangerous to the public and dangerous to your own self. You know, we know by the Word of God, our own heart is dangerous to our own self. Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Lord's provided His Word, His wisdom, His Spirit, that we might see, that we might be able to perceive and understand what's in us. You know, really, good and evil. Good and evil sounds like an easy thing to discern. What I should be doing, what I should not be doing. And you know, in some ways, we could make that easily discernible. But you know, we got an enemy. The devil, who's subtle. He's slick. He's a liar above all things. Convincing. A murderer from the beginning. And he's able to deceive, to lead me down the wrong way. So the Lord says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." If I'm going to go away from God, if I'm going to turn and go another way from the Lord, it's going to be because my heart was led astray. My heart loved another. He says in Hosea, and I didn't write it down and I don't think I'll be able to find it, but that whoredoms take away the heart. So when the heart is not in love, you know, he says in the New Testament, to set your affections on things above, not on things below. Don't be in love with worldly things. Don't allow worldly things to creep into your heart, but allow your love, your desire to be upon things of God and the Word of God, that you might stay near unto Him. So we're going to go on down through this and really the same message. So the heart, the most important place. The second, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. So the very next, you know, out of the heart proceeds all of these evils. But he tells in James chapter 3, and maybe we'll look there for just a few minutes, about the tongue. Verse 2, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us. We turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, wheresoever the governor listeth." So here, a horse that's far more powerful than you, but by putting a little bit in his mouth, you can take that and you can determine where the horse is going to go with the bit. A ship, and you know, I'm sure in the day James wrote this, there were some big ships, but you know, today there's far greater ships that are enormous in size. But you know how they navigate? They're navigated with a little helm that one man can turn and the whole ship goes that direction. So listen to what he says. "Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. So the tongue, you know, not only is the heart the great leader, but you know, my mouth, first of all, can lead me astray. My mouth, just exactly like that small helm that compared to the rest of the ship looks insignificant, but it can turn and lead and draw. The mouth of man is a mighty, he says here that it's set on fire of hell. That word's Gehenna, hell. Hell fire. You talk about that great evil can come out of in an instant. That great harm can be produced from in just a few seconds. That words can be said that would turn another person from the Lord and Savior Christ. That could turn a person against you. That could turn a person against the church in just a split second. This right here can change the direction. You know, I could say something right now that would turn the direction of this service for the worst. And everybody after church, they could say, can you believe that he said that? You think that goes on in people's lives naturally? People claim to be saved. They claim to belong to the Lord. They claim that they belong to Him, that they're born again. And you know, if anybody that's lost is going to see an example of what salvation is, it's going to be in people that are saved. But if I don't have any control over this, and I allow Him to speak blasphemy, I allow Him to, however you want to think of it, but I allow this thing to be out of control. Whether it's the putting down of the church or people in the church, or evil and filthy and unfit language, words maybe that are against the gospel, great harm can be caused by this that can never be undone, and it only takes a second. How great a matter a little fire kindleth. You remember when hot springs burned up about 3 years ago? Smoke was everywhere. They had people from all over the U.S. in fighting it, and helicopters, and the whole mountain burned up. You know what started that? One lighter. One lighter started that. What a matter that little fire kindled. But you know what the tongue set on fire of? Of hell. You know where this can lead people? Into eternal damnation. My mouth and my words, they can lead people to the Lord by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Or it's going to lead people away from God towards deception and into the fire of hell. Listen to what he says. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. It looks insignificant. Why, what I say don't matter. Whether I talk like that or not, that don't matter. That's just a little thing. That's just something that really doesn't matter. But you see, it's like the helm in that great ship. Looking at it, you think, well, what in the world's that? That little 4 foot maybe diameter wheel compared to a thousands of feet cargo ship carrying tons of good. Why, that's it's insignificant, but you know, that's the difference of it making it where it's going or crashing ashore somewhere. That helm is the control. Well, this right here, I tell you, we can set great examples with the way we talk, the way we react, and the way we go on in this world, or we can start a fire that can never be put out with this right here. So what ought I to do? Well, the preacher in Proverbs, he says, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips from thee. Guard your heart. Keep the devil from having your heart. Prevent your heart from falling in love with worldly things. Very important. Our nature's to fall in love with worldly things. For our time and our effort and our opportunity It's spent on worldly things because that's what we love and enjoy. And our time for God grows less and less and less. What's happening? Well, our whoredom's taken our heart away. Our love for the things of God has decreased. You know what causes that? I'm not really watching what's going on. See, people think little things don't matter. The devil's taking over. He's taking over our lives, not the world. I realize people are looking out into a wicked world. I believe that Noah could look out into a wicked world. Lot could look out into a wicked world. I believe Abraham looked out into a wicked world. Christ looked out into a wicked world. And we are today. But what about us as individuals? The devil's taking over our life and our affection, our heart and our love and our affection, because all our time's going to worldly things. There's no time for the Lord. No time for the Lord's work. No time for His Word. No time for prayer. And the God's truth is, I don't even realize what's going on until one day I need the Lord and look what I've done. Don't even know where I've left the Lord. Our affections, God says, guard your heart and put perverse lips from thee. Watch what you say. If you're going to guard your heart and the affections and the love of that, the Bible says in 1 John, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So don't love the things of the world. Guard your heart against that. And put from thee perverse lips. Watch what you say. You know, a lot of people would harp on cussing. But that's very elementary, really. In my thinking, that's very elementary. That's something that's easily, we know better. But I tell you when it gets tight. When somebody says, you think that's all right, and you don't want to hurt feelings. You think daddy went to heaven. You think they're all right. You know what can be done right there? Just a few what the flesh would say, kind and nice words. We can send somebody towards hell with a lie. That'll make them feel better, but that'll lead them away from the Lord. Watch what you say in every situation, that only uprightness and truth comes out of our lips. Because I say this, have you ever went to a spring and got a cup and it was salt water? And then you put in another cup and it was pure. Is that possible? Is it possible for a well to bring forth both salt and sweet water, I guess? It's impossible. You know what happens? The salt takes over. If there is fresh water there, the salt water takes over. Well, I tell you this, I am not going to go out in the world with this and allow that to run wild. And come in here and with the very same spring glorify God. You know what it's going to be? It's going to be an act. It's going to be a lie. And you know what else it's going to be? Among those that are in the world that have heard me, they're not going to believe that. No. That holds no value to them. It holds no weight to them. I tell you, what we say and how we talk has great bearing on how the world looks and thinks of you and of your Lord. Now I say with this, I belong to the Lord. And I talk with this like a worldly person. You know what that leads lost people to think of my Lord? That He's worldly like they are. Now is that true? Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 6. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. So, put off all these. So, a setting aside of all these, but in there, and you know, you could go with this list for a long time, but put filthy communication and lie not one to another. The Lord in Colossians, in the New Testament, you know, you run into the carnal mind on every stretch, and it seems like you've got to prove everything multiple times for people to believe it. Because, well, it ain't that important today. Well, the Word of God is important today, whether it's in the fourth chapter of Proverbs or in the New Testament. But in people's minds, to justify and to make ourselves to be right, we wrestle with that. There's a wrestling, and I can feel that a lot of times in all, my own self. But in the New Testament as well, put off filthy communication and lie not one to another, seeing that you've put off the old man. You know what that is? That ought to be the old man. You know what I used to be? I used to be a very foul-mouthed person. I used to be an awful liar. That was me. And I would say that if you ask anybody that knew me before, that they'd say I'd say foul mouth would be the first thing that they would have said about me. But you know the truth? The Lord saved me. The Lord took that away. I ought not to be like that any longer. People ought not be able to accuse me of being like a lost person, of talking like a lost person. Now tell me, what a shame that it is that God would save somebody, His Spirit enter into them and dwell, His Word be written on the tables of their heart, and them to be a new creature. And for me to go and talk like somebody that none of that works happened to. Talk like a lost man. That'd be a shame. It's a weighty matter. How great a fire a little matter kindleth. I tell you, we ought to think about our words and guard our heart and guard our mouth. Because we're either helping or hurting. It's not something that can be ignored. Something that's unimportant. We can tear down and lead people astray, or we could be a help and lead people to the Lord. But understand this, how you talk in the world. You come in here, you try to honor God with this, that holds no weight with the Lord. You know why? I may not know how you talk in the world. The Lord knows. It's the Lord we're looking to impress. The truth is, a lot of people are looking to impress who's sitting in the church. But I tell you, if they hear us, it ain't even going to impress them. So put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight on before thee. So we've got the heart. We've got the mouth. And now the eyes. Let your eyes look straight on. Don't allow your eyes to wander. Don't allow your eyes to... And you know, what is our eyes to be set upon? Well, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, and you could probably all quote this scripture, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So my eyes, as I would run this race, are to be upon Jesus. Paul says in Philippians, I believe, that he's pressing towards the mark. You know what he's got a mark? Of the high calling. Paul's got a mark out there that he's looking at, that he's striving for. Let your eyes look straight on. Let your eyes be in the Word of God and what God says. And don't allow your eyes to wander. You know, think of it naturally speaking. You're married, got a family at home. Your eyes shouldn't wander towards another man or another woman. You shouldn't even entertain the thought of looking towards another. Well, here he's saying, let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Keep your eye on the Lord Jesus, upon His work, and upon His Word. Because when my eye begins to wander, the devil will begin to turn me from the mark that I'm heading for. What is our mark? What is that that we're looking at, that we're heading to? You know, a lot of people would say, well, it's heaven. But I'm in complete disagreement against that. What I'm supposed to be striving for and to is that my life would look like the Son of God in this world. I am fighting a fight, a warfare, running a race. I'm trying to bring this man into the captivity of the Word of God. Paul said to the Corinthians, every thought and imagination to the captivity of the Son of God. Our mark is that our life, why, preacher, will never reach that. I know, but we ought to be striving for that daily. That today our life could look like the Son of God. That today we would speak like the Son of God. That today we would pray like the Son of God would pray. That our heart would be in tune with God like the Son of God's heart was in tune with God. That's where our eyelids ought to be. That we could have a life that would be near to the Father, filled with the Spirit, that we could be a help and an example day by day in this world to a people that's lost and undone and blind. But when I allow my eye to wander from that, and my new goal becomes, well, I need to get this. I need to do this. And I need this opportunity. And I need this to have at home. And I need to accomplish this so I'll feel better. You know what my life does? It begins to turn from striving towards being like Christ and turn towards things that are worldly. Don't allow your eyes to wander. Recognize what the most important thing is. What is the most important thing today for you? Raising children? Retiring? Making a lot of money? Being a good family man? Enjoying things of this world? I tell you how we know what we're heading towards. That's our goal. That's our most important thing. Are we becoming more like Christ? Is our life, the way we walk and live and talk, the things we do, the things we accept, the things we want, are they in the will of God? Or are they towards the world? Where's our mark at? Let your eyelids look straight on. To be like the Lord. To follow and live and obey the Word of God. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him. You know what He's saying? The Lord's seen the church. And He was willing to endure that He might bring in the church into salvation and redemption. What could we see? Think we could see? You know what I ought to see? I ought to see two little boys. Be worth it for them that I would be heading towards the mark. It'd be worth it for my family that's older that I would be heading towards the mark. Because I'll tell you what they're doing. They're heading towards the world. They need somebody to be an example of what godliness and salvation is. So if I'm going to do that, I've got to guard my heart. I've got to put perverse lips from me. I'm going to have to keep my eyelids straight on, realizing what the goal and the most important thing is. And I tell you this, If my eyelids are straight on and I know what my goal is, then you let them offer me something on the job. Let them offer me something in the world. Let them offer me something. I hate to bring specifics. It'll apply to you the way it applies. But let the devil offer me something that's going to take me away from the Lord, and that won't even be a consideration in my mind because I've got my eye on the mark. But boy, I tell you, when my eye's not on the mark and the devil lays that out in front of you, it's a fight. It's a much harder fight and battle than it ought to be. It's a much more difficult decision than it ought to be. So don't let your eyes wander. Don't put yourself in that place. So, you know what I tell Morgan when we're shopping? We can't afford it. There's no sense in looking at it. Don't tempt yourself. So think about that spiritually as well. We can't afford. Our people can't afford for us to be floundering in worldliness. Let not our eyes wander from the Word of God. Realize what's most important and follow that. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Ponder means to level up, to weigh. You know, when they weighed things in this day, they didn't have scales like we have scales. They had the balancing scales where you set a known weight in one side and you measured on the other until she leveled out. Well, he's saying level them up. Ponder the path of your feet. Weigh them. Every place that I step, it ought to be calculated and thought about. Now, if we were walking in a dangerous place, we could see that naturally. We want to be careful where we step that we don't fall. But now we're talking about spiritually here. So when I'm talking about walking, I'm not just talking about walking from here to my seat or from here to the altar or from here to my house. We're talking about our natural life, the course that my life is on. The way that I'm living and the way that I operate in this world. So what kind of decisions do you think ought to be weighed up by the book before I make them? Do you think who I marry, you think that's pretty important to weigh up by the Word of God? To see whether it balances out and it's the right thing, you think it's that important? You think the career I choose, you think I ought to weigh that up? You think that ought to be weighed by the Word of God, by prayer? Because I'm telling you something. The wrong career can take you away from the house of God. The wrong woman, the wrong man can take you away from the service of God. Now, we could apply that in many more ways. But I tell you, every decision I make, it ought to be weighed up by the Word of God. Is this what God wants for me? Or is this what I want for me? Is this what God would lead me to do? Well, it's more fun. It's more money. It's going to be better. Is that me saying that? Or is that the Lord? Ponder. You know what it's easy to do? It's easy to make a rash decision and say, that's what I'm going to do. That's what's best for me. This is the steps I'm going to take. And we move our whole life to that course. And if we're not careful, without weighing it up and thinking it through and going by the Word of God, by the Holy Ghost of God and His leadership, we'll get our life on a course that'll take us away from the Lord. Don't you think that the devil is in here continually working to take me away from the Lord? What do you think the devil would like for me to do? Well, let's just use Scripture. What did he want Job to do? Curse God. To make an open, public statement that he did not believe in God and then just die and be gone. And when Job didn't do that, he wanted to kill him. What do you think he wants to do for the church? I'm talking about people that are legitimately born again. What would the devil like today to do to them? He would like to cause me to fall. Because now think, if I've been a help to anybody in the world, if I've said one thing to somebody that brought conviction on them, and then they see me fall, they say, yeah, forget about that. So you know what the devil wants for the church? He wants us to go away from God. He wants us to lose the influence of the Holy Ghost in our lives. He wants us to lose our affection for God and for His Word. He wants us to lose our desire to pray. And He wants us to fall away from God. And I'll tell you, the farther we get from God, the less we love the world, the less we love our family, and the less we love the church. Oh, now, preacher, I love my family. There's a pile of people that loves their family. They love their children. And they love their husband or their wife. And this morning they've took them to something pleasurable instead of the house of God. You know what that is? That's a lie. That is not love. Do you think love is going to lead people to destruction? The devil is a liar and the father of it. The devil is wicked and he's subtle. And his desires to bring destruction on every soul of mankind that lives in this world. And if I'll go away from God, he can use me to deceive somebody else. If I'm going to talk with perverse lips, he can use my lips to deceive somebody else. If I'm going to walk away from God, and turn my life away from His direction, He can use my life to lead somebody away from God. He can use my life to take my children away from God. And they can say, well, Daddy done it. You've done it for years, Dad. Wasn't that important to you? See, devil don't want you to think about that till it's too late. He wants you to be happy with it today and enjoy it and the goodness. And people say blessings of it. My God, for me to call something a blessing that takes me from God. You talk about deception. Deception. But that's what all these worldly things are called today. Blessings. Boy, God's blessed. God would like to bless you with the Holy Ghost of God. He'd like for you to be filled. He'd like to use your mouth to honor His name in front of the world. He'd like to take the way that you live and walk and honor His name in a lost and dying world. He'd like to show what's in your heart. You know what God done with Abraham? You think God knew Abraham would offer Isaac? He did. God didn't have to have him go through that. But God put him in a place to test him, so that everybody around him could see what was in his heart. You know what God would like to do? For me to have a heart set upon Him, that He could put me in a bad situation and prove to everybody around me where my affection and my allegiance and my love is. Is it going to be with the Word of God? Guard your heart. Let your eyes look straight on. Ponder the path of your feet. Consider the pathway that you're on. Listen to what he says in Lamentations chapter 3. Just a few pages over. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 40. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us search our own way Now, how am I going to search it? It's going to be by the Word. I mean, if I'm going to do a right search, you know, for my bank account, this decision might be the best. For my pleasure and enjoyment, this decision might be the best. And if that's the way we're going to decide and determine what's the right decision and what's the wrong decision, you might as well forget about God. But now, if I'm going to do a legitimate search of my ways, of everything that I do in my life, I'm going to have to search it by the book. And does this line up? Is this the will of God? Is this the way the Lord would want me to do? And you know what I ought to be willing to do? You know what they're willing to do here? But you know what happened here? God had absolutely weighed laced to Jerusalem. Destroyed Jerusalem. They were eating their own children in Jerusalem. I tell you, we could search them today. Things are going good, I know. There's nothing wrong right now, I know. It's looking up today. But I tell you what I ought to do, and really, the truth, every day. Search, consider the way that I'm on, my life. And if it does not match up to the Word of God, what ought I to do? I ought to turn. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Would you like the Lord to be in first place again? Now, truthfully, is the Lord in first? That's an easy question to answer rashly and forget about. But now you consider that in your heart. My nature's to say, of course He's first. But it's here. It's up here. Is the Lord truly first in our decisions and in what we're doing and in our course of life and in our ways? If He's not, you know what I need to do? Let us turn. Let's turn back to when He was. Let's turn back to the Lord, that He might be in first place, that He might direct our paths. He says in Haggai 1, chapter 5, this is very familiar scripture, 1 verse 5, "Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little." We could read a lot right there, but we're not. So the Lord says, you've been laboring, but there ain't been much blessing behind it. Now consider why that is. How much is God, now, honest, how much has God, by the Holy Spirit, truly pounded on your heart and impressed something for you to say or do? How much of that's been going on of late in your life? In 5 years, how much of the Lord has... And I'm not talking about I'm sitting here and this is said and that's said and I think, boy, I ought to say that fits in. I'm talking about God gives me something to say or to do. How much of that's been going on? You know what I ought to do if it's scarce, if it's sparse? And I tell you this, if I can say, well, there was a time that happened a lot more than it does today. I ought to consider my ways, my life. Why, preacher, my life don't matter. God knows my heart. God's talking about our life. Over and over and over again, God's talking about our life. You know where our life is produced from? Our heart. That bucket that comes out of the well, you know where the water comes from? The well. The tree that sprouts out of the ground, you know where that comes from? The root. You know what's produced in this life? It's coming out of here. Now you can lie to me and tell me your heart's all right and the life be all to pieces, but that is a lie. The devil's got you believing a lie. If you're talking with perverse lips, your heart's not right. If you're living in ways that take you away from God, your heart's not right. If your eyes are wandering and you're lusting after everything in the world instead of loving and desiring God's presence, your heart is not right. Consider your ways. Turn to the Lord. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. So that word means set up, fixed, or firm. Be firm. Now, what is firm? This word of God is firm. Established. How established is this? It is forever settled in heaven. Unchangeable. So you know how my steps ought to be ordered? Established in the Word of God. And you know, if I'm following the Word and seeking God's will, then I won't have to worry about whether I'm making the right decision or whether this was a good thing. You know, 6 months down the road, was this really what was good for me? We're going to look at a man in the next chapter, and it may be 2 months before we ever get there, that's going to have a lot of regrets in life. You know what we could do today? We could come to the Lord. We'd never regret that day. We could walk for the Lord today. We could turn again to the Lord. Well, preacher, I'm not coming down. I am not submitting. I'm not admitting. I'm not turning. The devil's going to use you. You are being used by the devil. Let all thy ways be established. Would you let your ways be established by the Word of God? All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground. You know what the Lord told Cain? Sin lieth at the door. It's crouched there. The Word is like a lion, crouched, ready to pounce. There the devil is, waiting to take us and use us to lead our people to hell. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Now, if you've ever thought or done any work with angles, turn not to the right nor to the left. Don't step out of line any little bit. Now, you know what this thinks right here? Well, if I just get a degree or two out, if I'm just a degree or two off the line, that's really not going to make that much of a difference. And for the first 10, 20, 30, 40 steps, a degree or two is only going to mean that far. And you know, it's really not going to be that much of a difference. It's not hurting me. I mean, I've still got a testimony every now and then. I'm still doing this and that and the other. But you know, let time go on. And you keep on that pathway, and before long you're going to be so far away that you're not even going to recognize it. Just by that degree or two. I tell you, how weighty is it that we turn not to the right hand or to the left? Remove thy foot from evil. Preacher, I'm not in evil. I'm not doing anything that's evil. You want to know what evil is? True evil? Deviation from the book. That is evil. That's wrong. That's rebellion. Not being a murderer. Now, I'm not saying that being a murderer is not evil, but you know, we've got everything so fantasized today, sensationalized. Evil's going away from God. There's no greater evil than a moral, religious, upright person that's leading people to destruction away from God. That is evil. That's all that's on her heart. Anything you'd like to say, do.